Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 80. I don't know why that feels like a big deal. 80 is like a big number. Like $80? That would be exciting, right? Anyway, so today I'm talking to Heather Avis. She has a very unique family. It was not the family she planned for. It was not even the family that she wanted. In fact, when she started wanting it, she wasn't happy about that because that wasn't her original plan. So you're going to love hearing her story. It's very similar to my story, which is interesting because I know my story is not typical. I don't know about you guys if you are in the spring break situation, but I have had just got done with 2 spring breaks in a row because my kids have 2 different school schedules. I am so tired. I am spring broken. That's what I think I am. So, and on top of that, my son had a birthday party today and it was so fun. And it just makes my introvert flare up, you know, like I don't want to talk to anybody for a long time. So, but I had to do this. I'm gonna get this out for you because I care about you guys. Even when all I want to do is not talk to anybody, I'm talking to you. Okay, so feel special. Before we get started, though, I am so pleased to tell you that this show is sponsored again by Jelly Telly. You guys, they're fantastic. I was going to bring my kids in and have them tell you what shows they loved the most on Jelly Telly, but they were watching Jelly Telly and they couldn't be bothered to talk to you. So I'm really sorry if that hurts your feelings. But Jelly Telly, I will tell you what they always watch. There is a show called Night School that my son likes because it's teaching him how to be a knight, which he's pretty sure he's halfway there. My son loves anything with Buck Denver. My daughter loves Friends and Heroes. It's the history one that makes them know more about the Bible than I know. Anyway, it's a great, great app on your phone, great for road trips. What I love is there's also resources, there's devotionals, there's Bible studies, there's coloring pages, there's lots of movie reviews, parenting hacks. You can start your free week and get unlimited streaming of 300 plus hours of kids' Christian videos and movies. Visit jellytelly.com today and use the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL just for Mom Struggling Well listeners, and you'll get a month free. You can't beat that. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get started with my interview with Heather Avis on episode 80. I'm still excited about that. Hey, Heather, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so good. I'm really excited to talk to you. I love your story. And I think a lot of women who I get feedback from would love to hear stories such as yours. So will you tell us a little bit about you and your family?
I will. You want me to just go to the beginning? Just go there.
At the very beginning. Yes.
The very, very beginning. Well, my story to become a family starts with my infertility and this long, awful, painful journey of being able to have children naturally. And if a woman has been through that, it's just pretty brutal. You don't know what it's like unless you've been through it. There's just no way to know. And so I went through that journey.
How many years?
For 2 years before starting the adoption process.
Okay. My husband and I dealt with infertility as well.
Okay. And I went as far as we got to the road of in vitro fertilization or adoption. So we didn't go further than that. But it was one of these things like every little doctor's appointment led to another discovery, which then led to another door, which then led to another closed door. It was just this weird journey that every time it's like, here's a little hope. Oh, never mind. Here's a little hope. Oh, never mind. It really crushed me, but we ended up at this crossroads of in vitro fertilization or adoption and really felt like adoption was where we wanted to go.
Okay. Can I ask for someone who, because yeah. I remember being at that crossroads myself and there seemed to be so many options. It feels really overwhelming.
Sure.
What was your kind of process like as you decided adoption over in vitro? Not that one's better or worse or bad or good or whatever, but.
Yeah. There were 2 reasons we didn't choose in vitro. One of the main reasons was at that point in the infertility journey, however rude or crass this might sound, I did not want to open my legs for another strange man. Like I just couldn't even stand the thought of going through IVF, having done what we've done.
Did you do IUIs?
No.
Okay, because we did three IUIs, and I understand, like, I felt like I was jumping off a taller building after each one. It was just, like, the crushing was worse. Yeah. It was terrible.
That's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah.
So I just felt like my spirit couldn't take it. My body couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. Knowing friends who had been down the IVF road, I could not even imagine going there, mm-hmm. having gotten to that point. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge piece for me. And then my husband and I just have some personal convictions with IVF mm-hmm. that cast no judgment on anyone who chooses it. Right. So when it came time to like choose adoption or that, adoption felt like a much easier decision to step towards.
Yeah. And I'm really practical. And so for me, I thought at the end of IVF, you've spent the money and the time, you could end up with nothing, but you're probably going to end up with something at the end of an adoption, like an adoption
process. Yes, I know. I had the same thought. I think it's a fair thought. Yeah, it's going to cost this much. We're guaranteed a baby pretty much if you adopt.
Yeah.
And IVF, you're not for the same amount of dollars. Yeah. So we ended up going with a private agency, our first round of adoption, because we just were really fragile, I think. And we really wanted a healthy infant. That's all we wanted. We had a savings account at the time and we just felt like we could do this. We could afford it and it felt safe. You know, it felt a lot safer than other routes to take. So we found a local county we ended up adopting with. So we did our profile. We did all the things and we're officially awaiting family. We end up on this trip to Europe that we had been planning and like hoping that it'd be canceled. You know, I feel like as for any fellow adoptive mother, for me, there were these moments of, I just want that phone call. I want someone to call me and tell me my baby's here, but we don't get to plan for that. We have no idea when it's coming.
No.
So there's no such thing as 9 months or like,
oh yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as planning or preparing. I mean, what women do in 9 months, we have a weekend if we're lucky, you know?
Oh yeah. I had 30 minutes.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Right?
It's crazy.
So while that's crazy, I also was in this weird balance of, I don't want to put my future on hold and wait, but I would love to not go on this European vacation because I'm going to get my baby. You know, like up until it was like, okay, the night before, please social worker, call.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get on the plane. So anyways, we're in Romania. And I get an email from my social worker in response to my email to her. I had said, we're going to be out of the country, blah, blah, blah. She emails me back and says, thank you for letting me know. Your profile has been viewed one time. These things take time. There's been two babies with Down syndrome placed in the agency. And that's always hard to find placement for. Hang in there.
Okay.
Sends your name. And instantly, my heart was drawn to these babies with Down syndrome. Hmm. And I was very upset by that.
Okay. Because like you said, you really wanted a healthy baby.
A healthy baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So long, long, long story short, we end up adopting one of these two. And one had been placed by the time we got home from our trip before talking to our social worker.
Okay. What was that trip like then? You're thinking of this baby you don't want to be.
So we had been in Europe for a week already. When we got the email, we were doing like a camp with youth away from internet. And then we had another week, just my husband and I. So we were with like a big group of people. And then it was just my husband and I in Greece. And it was every conversation. What do we do? What do we do?
What was his thoughts? What were his thoughts?
I really wanted him to say, oh, no, no, no. That's crazy.
That won't work.
Yes. But right away, he said, well, I think we should pray about this. And we just were on the same page most of the time. Just like we both knew, even that early on, that we were going to say yes, and we didn't want to. So I can look back now and see ourselves making excuses for why not to adopt her. Okay. When in our minds at the time, we were trying to be real pragmatic. Like, okay, pros and cons. What does this mean? How does this look? What's our future like? Who does this? You know, like who says yes to
this?
So we decided to adopt her. And she came with a whole laundry list of problems on top of the Down syndrome. She had a congenital heart defect. She had already had one heart surgery at 6 weeks old before we knew about her. And she would need another one. She would need an open heart surgery once she came home. She had a lung condition called pulmonary hypertension, and hers was primary. It wasn't because of her heart defect. And so that we were told was going to be incurable. There's just nothing you can do besides oxygen and medication. So she came home on oxygen, on medication. It was just like, as we're learning about this child and stepping closer and closer towards her, like this is the wildest thing we could ever do right now.
It's the opposite of safe, right?
Yes. And in the adoption world, you know, you can say no. It is an okay option. And sometimes you have to, right? You have to. But we just, I don't know how else to explain it except for God making this happen. We had to say yes to this little girl. Yeah. So she came home October 29th, 2008. She was 3 months old. 1 month later on December 1st, she had open heart surgery. And there we were just doing it.
And as a new mom. Wow.
And the thing about it is, though, new moms do this all the time. We just never think we're going to have to, you know, but we do. moms are amazing. Moms just do it. When it's your kid, then you do it. The things you never thought you could do. I find all this energy and power and strength. It's pretty amazing.
You didn't even know that you had, right?
Totally. So she just rocked our world. She opened our eyes to adoption. She opened our eyes to special needs world. She entered our lives and our hearts were instantly smitten with her. And the oxygen, the medication, none of these things mattered a teeny bit because she was our daughter and we were head over heels. We bonded instantly with her, which I'm so thankful for because we didn't with our second. And so she was incredible. She's our best yes. She opened our door, doors of our life to so many things we never would have been able to step towards otherwise.
Okay. No, I love that. And I want to talk more about that. But I do also want to talk about the attachment piece with your second. So tell me how you ended up adopting your second.
Right. We're in California and we went with our local county at the time. And county adoptions are totally free. And there's a lot of other, not incentives, but things that make it more appealing and easier to adopt via the county. But county kids are risky because they're drug exposed in utero at best is what you're told. You're not going to get a baby. They're going to have health issues, maybe a sibling set, all these things. But we were really open at that time because our eldest daughter's name is Mason, because she was everything we had said no to and ended up being the best thing to happen to us. We were able to step into the next adoption, arms wide open. Seriously, any child in the whole wide world, we will take that child.
Yes.
And like sign the paper, you know?
Your story is so much like mine. This
is it really?
Really crazy. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
You know. And so we get this call. We like go through the whole process, you know, the months and months of paperwork and classes, just the whole thing. And then we get this call about a baby girl who at the time was a little over 5 months old, no health issues, no drug exposure in utero. Are we interested? We're like, what?
Yes.
Give me this baby. So we were told that her birth mother was Hispanic and then came to find out her birth mother was born in Guatemala and had been living in the States for a while. So we named her Truly. We said yes to her. She came home a little under 6 months old. And she was a rarity in the county as well because she went from hospital placement into a foster home where she stayed the entire, a really loving, kind, supportive foster home. So she was able to bond right away with a foster parent. She didn't have trauma. Her trauma was very, very limited. I mean, an adoption is traumatic for a baby.
Right.
Absolutely from day one. But she didn't have other trauma that she could have had in those first 5.5 months of life. So we're grateful for that. And then come to find out she's half African-American and birth mom's Guatemalan. And she's a babe. I mean, we got our first picture of her and we were just jaws to the floor. She's stunning.
She is.
Oh my word. And that first picture, like big cheeks and these huge brown eyes and tons of hair. She came home and we were just in love and so excited. And our eldest was so taken by her and became a big sister real quickly. It was really sweet. And then a couple months went by and then 3 or 4 months and I just wasn't loving her like I had loved my first.
Okay.
And it shattered my expectations of what I was hoping, my hopes for being her parent. And it really rocked my world.
So what did that look like in your mind? Like, what were your thoughts? What did you try to do to make it work? How did you know it wasn't working?
Yeah, to be real truthful, I knew it wasn't working because I didn't like her that much. And she was a baby. I mean, I know it sounds awful to some people listening. I feel like a lot of adoptive moms can relate.
I totally get it. Absolutely.
And we'd go in public and so our eldest, you know, she's got Down syndrome. And we're in public and people or even close friends would say, I would adopt if I could get a Truly. And I'm thinking, she is impossible. She's so hard. I don't know how to parent her. I don't like her. My heart is not drawn towards her heart. But I never said that, you know, because that feels really, it feels so shameful. Because she's my
Absolutely.
Kid. Yeah. So truly, what she really taught me and what I'm still learning, because she's 5.5, and I think I'll learn this for the rest of my life, is that love is an action. It is not an emotion. And I was waiting for these warm fuzzies that I had with Mason and that parents have with their children. You know,
assume you will.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm waiting for these and they're not coming. And I had this moment. I mean, I had lots of tears and lots of like putting her to bed and thinking I ruined her. Like she's done. What are we supposed to do? what am I supposed to do? And lots of moments of the warm fuzzies, like cuddling her, moments where I'm thinking, what is my problem? She's amazing. She's a baby. She's a little girl. Mm-hmm. But I realized that love is an action and that I was loving her really well. And I feel like almost better because I was having to be more intentional in my choice of love. It didn't come as naturally. So, you know, talking to girlfriends and having it normalized is helpful. Talking to moms who have natural born children and adoptive and have said that the child that they birthed from their womb is who they feel these hard feelings towards, not an adopted child. So knowing that this is maybe an adoption thing, but also just a parenting thing, you know?
Yes. Because there's so many personalities involved. There's just so much to it.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to say, I really struggle to like this particular kid. Nobody wants to say that because you do. You feel like a terrible human being.
Right. And so I just want to challenge people. If you find yourself in that place, like think of how you're loving your child, you know, that you're waking up and you're giving your all to them. And maybe you snap or say something that you can regret and have to apologize for or whatever it is. We all do that as parents, but that love is not a warm feeling. And once you put those actions of love in place, the feelings start to evolve.
Yes, they follow after. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel that way with your
Yes, kiddos? I do. For some reason, my daughter, I have to be very intentional to do things to her that very much come naturally with me and my son. I don't know why I didn't ask for that. I certainly wasn't my game plan. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Very strange. And it does feel like you turn in on yourself and go, what the heck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Totally. Or like, this will stop when she's a such and such age, but we're still, I still have so many moments. Yeah, where my husband and I both, we have to try really hard and we don't have to with our other two. And I don't think that there should be guilt. I think it's okay. It is what it is. And as long as we're working towards being loving.
What have you found, like, practically as helpful for, like, a mom? Because for me, finding things we like in common was really tricky. Mm-hmm. And so when we've hit on those, then we really do those a lot. Whatever it is that we can find that's the same.
That's good. For my husband and my daughter, it's been like that for sure. Like they find common things and then they do it together and it's been very good for bonding. For me, it's really a lot of it is just like sucking it up. Like if she wants to come snuggle and I just don't want to snuggle at that moment, I will snuggle, you know, and I'll be like, okay, like deep breath, make this worth all of our while, like really snuggle. And inside I'm like, I don't want to touch anyone right now. It is a lot of sacrifice and sucking it up, which is love. Love is sacrifice, you know?
So good. Yes.
And don't get me wrong. I have moments where I'm like, okay, no one's touching me. So go read a book or whatever. I'm not some saint.
No, I think everybody does that. Yeah. So then there was Truly, and then what happened?
There was Truly. And so for moms who have littles, I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I felt like I was in it. You know what I mean? In it. And my 4-year-old has Down syndrome, so there's delays and extra doctor's appointments and therapies and all the things. And I was pretty sure my 2-year-old was the most active 2-year-old on the planet and the feistiest. I was convinced. Uh-huh. And I was max capacity, but we really wanted a third. So we started the process hoping it'd be a year later. Like it's going to take a year. The paperwork, a lot of it's on our clock with the paperwork, you know? So we're like a year from now, we'll be ready. Whatever that means as a parent to be ready, right? For another kid at least. And we like do the whole thing with the county again, the fingerprinting and all of that. We go do that one day, take a picture, like announce like our pregnancy announcement in a way, you know, we really want to adopt again. Baby Avis number 3 coming next year, whatever. And the next day we post on social medias. Next day, one of my really good girlfriends calls and goes, I saw you're adopting again. We just got contacted by a birth mom and she's having a baby with Down syndrome. He has a congenital heart defect, a boy. You need this baby. And it was another moment. Yes. It was another moment of, my gosh, no. Why did you call me? I even said to her, this was so mean for you to call me because you know.
I thought we were friends.
Yes. You know I'm going to say yes. You know I'm going to pursue this. That was so mean of you. And talked to my husband and it was the same thing. Like this, the timing feels the worst. However, we have to step towards this baby.
My goodness. So because of social media.
Yeah, right? The good old social media. And so I hung up the phone and by the end of the day, I'm Facebook friends with birth mom. And we're like talking back and forth on Facebook, which is really intimate in a way because birth parent stuff is a whole other thing, as you know.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So that felt like instantly she has access to my pictures and my blog posts and everything I write, she's got it all. So here I am. And I'm a pretty open book on all of the spaces. Mm-hmm. So we end up meeting her. We end up, yeah, saying yes to adopting this baby. And 2 months later, our son was born. And we got to go through some doctor's appointments with birth mom, which is real sweet. We got to be at the hospital the day he was born and be in that space with her. And her sisters were there and her mom was there. She had an older daughter who was maybe 8 at the time she was there. And we all just sat in this hospital room together. And then she was discharged and walking her out to her car, leaving her son behind. It was,
I can't imagine.
It was the most emotionally painful thing I think I've ever experienced, it being a part of that with her. And but so appropriate, I thought, to be a part of it as well.
That's good. I'm so glad you got to be there. How was she? I didn't get to be there with either one of my kiddos and their birth parents, so I've never experienced
it. It was awful. She left him in the hospital room with my husband, and I walked them all out to the car. So, like, watching her give him a last kiss and hand him over, everyone is hysterical. We're not just, like, a little bit tears in our eyes. We can't talk. We are sobbing. And it's that way the whole way to the car. No words. We were all just sobbing. And then it was just hugging and sobbing. And I mean, it was so unbelievably emotional, as I think, as it should be, you know, like this is the thing that people don't recognize is always, a lot of people do, but some people don't realize is adoption is birth from a tragedy for everybody involved, you know, and and we have to recognize that. And we have to give that the honor that it deserves and not like sweep it under the rug. For our kids' sake, for these incredible birth mothers' sake, you know, as an adopted parent. So I'm really thankful for that experience, but it was brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah. Okay. So then what happened next?
Okay. It was a little heavy, right? So then I went up to the hospital to be with my baby. And so I hadn't, my girls were older when they came home. I mean, 3 months old and 5 months old, which is very different from a newborn, which I didn't know because I had not had a newborn. And they gave us a room that night with him. He had to stay another night. And it was magic. I mean, he was this teeny, tiny, brand new human. And oh, it was so dreamy. It was so dreamy. So good. And he was a good sleeper and a good eater. And, you know, as an adoptive mom, I feel good. I'm tired, yes. But my body's fine. I didn't just give birth. My hormones are fine. I'm not like a hormonal mess. So we come home and yes, we're so tired because he's up like a newborn all night. But we started out feeling great. And so I think that makes a big difference. And I like to call it like this newborn baby bliss. And I meet a lot of like first time moms with newborns and they say that was the hardest. I could not wait to get out of that season. It was so hard. You know, like, because you're nursing and you're tired and your body is wrecked and you're hormonal and, you know, all these things where we're just making bottles and kissing and like wrapping him to my chest all day long. I mean, it was, he is a dream. I love him so much.
Okay. So now having had, you have a mixed race family. Is that the right way to say it?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing, but you have kiddos with special needs. Like, what do you experience when you go to Target?
That's such a good question. I mean, all the stares everywhere we go. And I'm okay with it because I get it. You know, like I get that we are a unique looking family.
Were you always okay with
it? I have had moments for sure where it's been annoying, more annoying than not. But I do, my husband and I both feel like we stepped into this and we chose this. So we can't really get bitter and angry about people being curious about something that's so different.
So how do you handle it?
We're not easily offended either, just in general. Sometimes we like poke fun. So there's lots of times if we happen to all five be out and we're checking out or something at a Target and either someone in line near us or the checker is like curious, like, whoa, okay, so are they all yours? Like, well, yeah, they're all ours. And oh, you have your hands. Like anytime someone says you have your hands full, it's never a compliment. And my husband will almost always say, yeah, she's pregnant with twins. We just found out. And we'll like give a big scary stare and then walk away. And people are just always shocked by that one. That's my favorite.
That's so funny.
We'll just answer questions honestly. I mean, things that do get old is the way that people talk about our kids with Down syndrome. So like someone will think they're being kind and endearing and be like, so they're with you forever. Do you know that? Like, yeah.
I had never processed through it. Thank you.
Right. That's kind of the hope at this point in life. Thank you so much. Or if they see one, like they'll just see my son or they'll just see my daughter. And then my husband will walk up with the other. It's like, oh, you have two of them. Like, yeah, we've got three awesome kids. Or I don't know. People are interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So with social media, you do so much to bring awareness to it and stuff. And what are you seeing that's changing? Or are you seeing things that are encouraging to you as you do this?
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways to answer this question. So I can sit in this social media bubble. And what I mean is we have a lot of followers and it's very encouraging. It's so encouraging. And so we're constantly getting people just who have kids with Down syndrome or don't, who have adopted or haven't, who have a mixed race family or don't, just saying things that are so encouraging. And we're like, this is amazing. People are so wonderful. Oh my gosh, the world is a great place. And then we step outside and get like a really awful comment from somebody, or listen to the statistics of like termination rates for in utero diagnosis of Down syndrome, or step onto a school campus and just remember that things haven't changed that much really in the narrative in terms of Down syndrome and having kids with special needs. It just hasn't changed that much compared to 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Even then, it was this idea that having a child with Down syndrome is a really terrible, tragic thing. And that is still the initial reaction for a parent who has a child with Down syndrome, is that it's this terrible, tragic thing that's happened to them.
What would you say for a mom who is staring at a diagnosis like that right now?
Yeah.
And she's pregnant.
Yeah. I talk to a lot of those moms.
Do you? They reach out to you?
Yeah, they do.
I love that.
Or people will refer us. Yeah. I just met with a mom who just had a baby. They had an in utero diagnosis and it was confirmed at birth. We just got together. So it is this wild idea of talking to people who are looking at my kids and saying, this is the worst thing that could happen to me. You know, like no one really is. No one's hearts are there. But that's what's being spoken in so many ways.
Yes. That's got to be really something for you to walk through that, knowing what they're thinking and knowing how much you love your kids.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how I marry those two things, but we do it because I also have a lot of love for these women. And my biggest thing is to tell them is you're feeling one way now, like how you're feeling right now is more likely due to an unmet expectation or a shattered expectation that you had this idea of this is what my life will be. And now you've been thrown over here into left field and your expectations are shattered. And that for anybody is a terrifying thing, but that's not necessarily because of Down syndrome. Like just to give them that different ways.
Just divorce those two things.
Yeah. And that, and if I have a long time to talk to someone, then talking about how, you know, we have this idea that Down syndrome is a bad thing because society's told us all these things, but you have to look at the people who are living the life, who have Down syndrome, who have a loved one with Down syndrome, let them be the only voices you hear. Like you have to hear the voices, and to tell them there's another side to this, that sooner than you think, it's going to be way sooner than you think. You're going to look back at how devastated you are now. And you're going to say, what in the world? Why did I ever feel that way? And I guarantee that. I really, really guarantee that for moms, that you're going to get to the other side. And it's going to be so, so good. And then I think that you have to validate them in their, like not validate, but give them the grace to feel how they feel, you know, and have grace, just have a lot of grace for letting them figure it out, however they need to figure that out. But I guarantee it's going to be the best thing that happens in their life.
Yeah. The friends who I have, who have siblings with Down syndrome, they are such a source of joy.
Right.
I mean, yes. Yeah. I love their perspective. I love, I don't know.
Lovely. No, it reaches so far. There are people in the Down syndrome world who are trying really hard for their child to not have Down syndrome by lots of supplements and a lot of things above and beyond early intervention therapies and things. And I think that their goal is for their child to be as least Down syndrome as possible. That is for sure a thing. So I recognize that there's people in those groups out there, but I think that the majority of us who have a child with Down syndrome or a sibling or a grandchild, and I even think people with Down syndrome would just say, this is a really incredible way to live life. You know, this is an amazing gift and opportunity to get to live life either through the eyes of or even with Down syndrome. And I tell people the hardest, hardest thing about Down syndrome is not the kids and not Down syndrome. It's society and the way that society's lack of acceptance and love for is the hardest thing that you're going to fight as a parent. It is not Down syndrome or your kids. It is the way
that's a great view. Now tell me, what does that look like as a mom when society does what society does and you are looking in the faces of your sweet babies? I mean, are they old enough now to have conversations about why people are looking at them or what that comment meant? Or
yeah, they are. My eldest is 8, who has Down syndrome. She doesn't care that much. And when she does, just personality wise, she just kind of goes into herself. So there's moments that I'm not in her head, but I feel like I think this is happening because these kids left her out. And she knows why, or like that she couldn't do a gymnastics class recently. And she just was so sad. She just like shut down. And I think she was watching that. She knows she can't do it because something's different about her. And my 5-year-old, she can articulate all of that. But I don't know that she totally gets that there are people who live without someone with Down syndrome in their lives. I don't know that she totally gets that yet. It's just such her normal.
Yeah.
Which is our goal.
Well, but then she has people who probably look at her because she doesn't look like her parents.
Oh, girl. We talk about this all the time with her. And she's 5. And we talk about it.
So what does that conversation look like?
It's heavy. And there's other layers, too, because we have relationships with both our other kids' birth parents and not hers. And we don't have a picture of nothing. And so it's heavy. It's at night, usually. And she's just crying. And can we talk? What's up, babe? I just am the only one with curly hair. And I'm the only one with dark skin. And I don't know what my birth mom looks like. And I just miss her. And I wish I could see her. And she's just bawling. And yeah, it's really hard. And we just, I mean, with the look stuff, we just talk about how everyone's different and how that must be really hard. But we think her skin is so beautiful. And we'll like talk about how my skin's a shade darker than her brother's. We try to talk about how like we all have a different color everyone's skin different. In our home. Yeah. We all have different hair. That's what makes this world amazing. And yeah, we're really sad that we don't know your birth mother. And we're really sad about that for you. And we're sad that makes you sad. And it's okay to feel like that. And then I'll say things like, now while she's little, like, I don't know anything about her. But what I do know is you got to be in her tummy for 9 months. And I bet you that whole time she would sing songs to you. So I'll like make stuff up. But I feel like it's appropriate to tell her, you know, she loved you so much. She gave you this life and she probably has big brown eyes like you. So stuff like
I love that. You know, it's funny. My daughter, we have contact with her birth family. She doesn't care. And I asked her the other day, I said, so do you have any feelings you'd like to talk about? And do you ever miss them and you'd like to, you know, have contact? She goes, I only think about it when you bring it up.
Oh my gosh.
Like, okay. You know, but then my son, who we have no contact with and we don't know who his birth family is, he's like, well, my tummy mommy, whenever we hear Adele on the radio, he's like, well, that's my tummy mommy.
Whoa.
So, like, she, yeah, I know. So he just, he makes up all kinds of stories and he really wants to see her. So it's like, well, we just need to switch things around. Maybe you can have her birth parents because she don't care.
It's wild. The birth parent thing is wild. And we were getting together with my son's birth mother a few times a year. And a couple visits ago, it really affected our middle daughter in a negative way for days. And not and initially she could express it in like, how come I don't get to see my birth mom? And then we just noticed something was really off with the way she was connecting with us. And so the next time we did a visit, we didn't have her be a part of it. We like she was at with her grandma and we were real strategic about that. And I think we're going to move that way for a while. Like we got to be flexible and it's not necessary for her to be at those visits. I hate keeping secrets. It feels like a secret, but it also is like, it just felt too harmful for her because she just really wants that and she doesn't have it.
Yeah. So many dynamics.
Oh my gosh. So many layers. Bless her little heart.
I know. Sweet. What I always tell my son is the story's not over yet. And I pray for her and that it's not, we haven't closed the book on this yet and hopefully we'll, no.
I love that.
And if it's Adele, that's awesome. That's so let's pursue that.
We'll start with Adele.
So I've emailed her. No, I'm just kidding. So you just wrote a book and is it kind of just all about this story or what?
Yes. So it comes out March 21st, which is World Down Syndrome Day. People with Down syndrome, it's their 21st chromosome that they have 3 copies of. So 321. Has become World Down Syndrome Day. Yeah. And it's so good. Coming out that day, but it's available right now for pre-sale. We've got some really fun promos too going on with that. If you buy the book early, you get some extra incentives. So it's called The Lucky Few. And a few years ago, I started using hashtag The Lucky Few on all my Instagram posts. It just kind of came out thinking that there are very few of us who have kids with Down syndrome. And those of us who do are so lucky. And I started doing this and it started trending. And I'm noticing a ton of people using this hashtag. Okay. Anyways, that was a tangent. So the book is called The Lucky Few. But it goes beyond the Down syndrome piece into this idea that a lot of us have opportunities to step into these seemingly scary places that we've spent our whole life avoiding. Mm-hmm. But once we do, we find ourselves lucky enough to discover the beauty that's been waiting there this whole time. And there's few of us who actually take that risk and those steps. And we're really lucky when we do. So it starts with my infertility and goes all the way through to bringing our son home. And then we touch on a couple other things towards the end. And on raising a child who's a different race and being intentional on raising children with special needs and being intentional. So it's everything we talked about and then all the tiny details and all the stories in between.
So good. I can't wait to read it.
Thanks. Thank you so much. It's been a joy.
So good. Okay, so I like to end with this question every time. Okay. What is something in your life, anything, it can be a chapstick, perfect, whatever, that you cannot stop talking about right now?
Okay. We just got, can I say two things? Is that okay?
Yes.
As many things as I want. Thank you very much.
Yes. 107
So we just got a new mattress, and okay, I have never slept on a more comfortable mattress in my life, and I'm in love with this company. It's called Tuft & Needle.
I've heard of it, yeah.
American-made. And they're like cause driven. They're just this incredible company.
Really? Okay.
And it showed up in my at my house. We got a Cal King in like a little box. And then you cut open the package and it expands into this giant mattress. Okay. It is so unbelievably comfortable. I was shocked.
Oh my goodness.
So I talk about that a lot to anyone who wants a new mattress or who talks about a bed or comes to my house. Then it's like, go try out my bed. And then the other thing, you guys, we got for free from a trip my husband went on, Amazon Echo, Alexa, you know what I'm talking
about? You can talk to her and she will do things. What happens?
Hey, Alexa. And then you talk to her. So, okay, we listen to so much music in my house. And I had seen the commercials of Alexa. I never thought I'd have an Alexa. I love her so much. We listen to tons of music. And all you have to say is, hey, Alexa, play Adele. And then she plays Adele. Hey, Alexa, turn that up. Hey, Alexa, stop for a minute. Hey, Alexa, volume's loud. Turn it down. Yeah. And then you can be like, Alexa, skip this song. Alexa, how about some James Taylor? And she just does all of it. So if you love music, I think Alexa is a must.
Well, and I love James Taylor.
I love too. James Taylor.
So if Alexa knows James, I need Alexa.
And she goes like way to the old school James stuff too. And then brings it all. James is my man. He's my favorite of all time.
He is. I saw him in concert once and I swear we were friends. He's such a friendly person.
Yes, I saw him in concert too. Bucket list. Oh my goodness.
I was in Southern California as well.
Wait, did you see him with Carol King?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I only cared about him. I don't remember who else was there. I only have eyes for James.
Okay. Yes. I don't blame you. So yes, I highly recommend the Echo. Amazon can pay me for these shout outs if they want to.
Yeah, I know. Come on, Amazon. So fun. Well, Heather, loved talking to you.
You too, Emily. Thanks, babe. Emily.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you have a good rest of your night. I love talking to you while you're in your closet and I'm in my closet.
Perfect. So
awesome. Yay. Hey, friends. I hope that you really enjoyed that talk as much as I did. I think for me, I shared a lot about my struggles with my daughter that even as I was talking about it with Heather and realizing like there's nothing shameful about not connecting with every human being on the planet. But as moms, we feel like we are supposed to, if we're decent human beings, love all of our kids exactly the same. And I think those weren't the right words. I do love both of my kids. But yeah, my daughter's just more difficult for me. But what I like to do, because I know that she knows that I don't understand her, but she also doesn't understand me. And so not all the time, but when we're at a place where we really don't understand each other, I mean, because also we homeschool, and so we are together a lot, and everywhere she goes is a mess. And everywhere I go, I'm cleaning. Everywhere I go, I'm doing something. And everywhere she goes, she's doing as much relaxing as possible. So we are very different in a lot of ways. And so I think that if we're not careful, at least in our house, it made me kind of, this subtle shift happened in my heart where I started being suspicious of her motives. So anything that happened, anything that was left out or any look that she gave me, I was suspicious of where it came from. So I wasn't believing the best about her. Does that make sense? Because there was so much, I was feeling so much pressure. What's wrong with me that I don't feel the same feelings towards her? And what's wrong with her that I don't feel the same feelings with her? And the fact of the matter is there is nothing wrong with either one of us. And when I realized that God was using her to really refine me and make me depend on him, it's really been interesting. I had this conversation with Heather several months ago, but I can tell you today, our relationship is, it's not perfect. But as I start giving her the benefit of the doubt, my heart is definitely softening towards her. And it's been very exciting. We have also discovered roller skating. We have also discovered that we love going to Starbucks together. We have also discovered that we love choose your own adventure books. So instead of seeing all the ways I'm not like her and she is not like me, we are starting to build some common bonds. And it's been amazing. And also she's starting to help with the dishes and the cooking, and acts of service is my love language. So I feel so excited when she will help me a little bit. And she likes quality time, so we do all the quality time things. So anyway, all that to say, if you feel bad and ashamed and like you need to hide the fact that things aren't always that great with one of your kids in particular, I would encourage you to talk to somebody who you trust and just kind of get it out there in the light. You'll probably be amazed at how much freedom you have and the power that you feel to change it and to realize, like Heather said, that it's a choice and that our feelings follow once we make the choice. And I think I started to say this earlier, but I kind of went off on a tangent, but when we aren't understanding each other, I'll look at her and say, I don't make sense to you, do I? And she's like, no. And I say, yeah, you don't make sense to me either. But I just try to make it to where she doesn't just internalize that she doesn't make sense, but I make it a two-way street where we just both do not get each other sometimes. And then I work really hard to make sure that we have as many times as possible where we do understand each other. So hope that helps. I know I'm not the only one in that situation. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? Heather's book comes out. You could pre-order it or you can order it depending on what day you're listening to this. It comes out this week. So you can order your copy of that. The link is in the show notes. Maybe you are also a family that gets a lot of comments from people at the grocery stores and a lot of questions and a lot of stares. And you can craft something funny to say like her and her husband say. Or just a gracious way to respond when someone says, oh, are those all yours? Or, oh, your hands are sure full or something like that. So if that's something that you run into, maybe you make one of those up this week. Maybe like Heather, your heart is being drawn to something and you are secretly saying, no, please don't make me do that to the Lord. Maybe this week you sit down and really talk to him about it and dig into his word and realize, you guys, his character is good. He is for us. And if he asks you to do something that sounds super not fun and you really think he's asking you to do it, he's only asking you to do it because it is for your best and highest good. Maybe you're pregnant and you just got a diagnosis of Down syndrome and you are in shock. Heather talks to people. There are lots of places you can go. Go to her Facebook page, send her a message. Let her tell you what a blessing her kiddos have been to her life. You guys, my brain is like seriously fried. I'm so overexerted right now. So I'm going to cut this short. But before we go, I did just want to say again that jellytelly.com is the place to go to get programming for your kids that you know is safe. You know, it is quality content. And honestly, it's funny. If you sit and listen to the jokes, a lot of them, you're going to get them. And the kids aren't. It's good stuff for everybody. Go to jellytelly.com, enter the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, and give it a try. All right, sweet friends, listen, you are doing an amazing job. Even if you're doing a terrible job and you're pretty sure you've really botched the whole thing up, remember like what Heather said, you are loving them well. Their needs are met. Could you do better? Of course you could. Could I do better? 100%. I'm a mess, you guys. But you know what I think? Our kids don't expect us to be perfect. We think we should, and we set the bar way high, but you know, like, they don't even know what year it is, and they'd just as soon be outside digging in the dirt. So why are we so hard on ourselves? Maybe your strategy to struggle well this week is to calm the heck down. Mine is going to be to stare at a wall for a while and try to recover from these last 2 weeks. So I hope you have a great week of struggling well.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.